I'm sure you realize how different our dance music of today is from that of the not very distant past when jazz made the days and nights hideous. But I wonder whether you realize the many phases through which dance music has passed and how interesting its evolution has been. So far as the piano is concerned, this has already been illustrated by Fred Elizalde, who needs no introduction from me, in his Decca record, From Jazz to Rhythm. And now he's going to show us how it has affected the orchestra. Starting at 1918, we find a small band with the drummer ruling the roost, as you'll hear in this old-time version of Swanee.
This is Bob Kerr presenting the Record Collector, and today we have one of our old friends on the program, Ed Crommelin, who lives in Vancouver. Ed came over from Holland in 1952, and previous to that was associated for many years with live jazz personalities, and he has a tremendous collection of all kinds of recordings from opera through to jazz, and he has a list before me here of the things he's going today, and it's all Greek to me. All the names are out of my line, so on. So I'm going to let you do most of the talking, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
What have we just heard by way of opening?
Yes, Bob, thank you. What we heard was a recording. To me, it's the very first time that it was attempted to put on record a study of jazz and its origin. And this is 1932. Jazz was a form of art, let's put it an art with a small a, that developed itself more or less and quite fast. So nobody ever stopped and said, let's have a look at this from a point of view of putting it either in print or on record to see what it's all about. But then in 1932, here in England, Fred Elizalde, this famous Spanish classical pianist, also very much interested in jazz, took it on him to put this on record as he saw fit. And what is nice about it, that most people would have expected this to be in the States, the first recording on jazz origin, but this is in England.
I suppose it's only since the war, really, that the American histories and examinations have come out, is that correct?
Yes, and but here was the first thing, the first attempt to do this, and I thought it was quite interesting to play it on this.
Well, how are you moving on from there now?
We go to a recording, let's say in the early stages then of the jazz, 1927. It's not too early, but just the same, we were still trying to get a form into it, by the Goofus Washboards. Now, the Goofus Washboards was just a little hot group from the California Ramblers, which was under the directorship of Adrian Rollini, the great bass sax player.
Did they use washboards?
No. No.
Like the skiffle groups.
No, they didn't. But that was a name then quite familiar with jazz, so they put it on. And what is good about this recording is Adrian Rollini playing various instruments. One of them is the goofus. I don't know if you know what that is. That's a little box with valves sitting on top of a table, and he pushes the valves, and somebody else has to produce air into this little machine, which is done by a bicycle air pump.
Stick needles into mice and get
But whatever Adrian Rollini did with his various instruments, hot fountain pen, goofers, or bass sax, it all came out one way, jazz. And here is then a very interesting recording of a number called Clementine. Now, the only thing you should really listen to is not jazz in this recording, it is the singer. And she, that is Sadie Green, the vamp of New Orleans. And she is the personification, I would say, of the flapperette times of the roaring 20s. Just listen to her voice, it's all over.
Thank you. Clementine, that baby from New Orleans. She's only 17, but what a queen, oh my. She has two flashing eyes, they surely can hypnotize. And when she rolls them, pal, just kiss your gal goodbye. And oh, when she starts dancing, she plays a mean castanet, you won't forget, I mean. She kissed a boy named James, his rubber collar burst into flames. That gal called Clementine from New Orleans.
Titled Clementine on a Parlophone recording from, of all years, 1927. You'd never believe it from the sound of that.
Excellent recording, yes. O'Key was responsible for that in those days. They did a beautiful job.
The Goofus Washboards, the group in charge of the proceedings. Now, let's move on to the next one, Ed.
The next one is a Red McKenzie and his Music Box recording, which is nothing else but the Mound City Blue Blowers. And they are the group by Red McKenzie on blue blowing, and the other performance are...
Excuse me, what is this blue blowing business?
That is a just an ordinary hair comb with a piece of filled paper strung over it, and then wet it on the top a little, and then you blow alongside, and you get a type of trumpet sound out of it. So it's only as good as the man can sing what comes out. But Red McKenzie was a very good vocalist and quite a man of jazz, and what he does with it is pretty good. You'll find out.
On Monday, because it's wash day, and we're gonna wash all our blues away from here. from Monday on, the skies look bright. Now don't you tell me nothing different, I know I'm right. I'm gonna start shouting, hey, hey, when she says love, honor, and obey, cause I'll be happy from Monday on.
That thing sounds like a kazoo.
Yes, but it's not a kazoo, although I must admit that in the Mount City Blue Blowers, Jack Bland and the other fellas, they had a kazoo next to Red McKenzie blowing on his blue blowing. And so it's quite close to it. Although it's
a well, tell bit. Us a little more. Oh, that's what kind of a parlophone recording
a
is
a Spanish
it?
Parlophone. And I knew that recording only was issued in Europe on Spanish parlophone, and naturally I wanted it badly because I'm very fond of Joe Venuti's violin playing, and I couldn't get it anywhere. So on a long holidays in school when I was young, I went all the way to the southern part of France to get one from across the border, and I got one. And just fancy someone on holidays doing nothing else but carrying a breakable record under his arm. And to bring it all the way safe home, but I did.
And we hear it so many years later.
Yeah.
On the CBC. You're going to have another Red McKenzie now.
Yes. Red McKenzie was always in the heart of Chicago jazz playing, and here he got an entirely different type of group around him. It's called Red McKenzie and His Celestial Beings, and they play Georgia on My Mind. Now, in this recording, he got a mixed group, some Negro players and some white players. Coleman Hawkins is on tenor sax, and this is one of his finest tenor sax solos, I think. And you can really hear that at that time he was regarded as the king of all tenor sax players. And his lyrical soloing in this particular recording proves that I think people were right in thinking so.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia on my mind, Georgia, Georgia, a song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly. Still in peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you, Georgia, Georgia. No peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Thank you.
Red McKenzie and the Celestial Beings, including a lot of very fine jazz instrumentalists. We continue now with more Chicago-type jazz.
This is the truly what we in jazz call the Chicago-style jazz playing. Staccato, short, improvisation, collective improvisation, and it's a style very different from the New Orleans jazz. And this one I picked out because Henry Red Allen, the great Negro trumpet player, he died on April the 19th, just about a month ago, in the same week that Buster Bailey also died. He died on April the 14th. And I thought I should play a recording where Henry Red Allen, this great trumpet player, would come out at real good effect. And I picked out this Chicago-style recording of the Chicago Rhythm Kings called Who's Sorry Now? And I think the phrasing of Henry Red Allen, he ends up this particular recording, is just about perfect. He plays with a bowler hat that gives that round, really good tone of trumpet playing. But his phrasing is just beautiful.
I cried over you, oh, right to the end, just like a friend. I tried to warn you somehow. You had your way, now you must pay. I'm glad that you're sorry now. Oh, you had your way, babe. Now you must pay. I'm glad that you're sorry now.
Who's Sorry Now, recorded in 1932 by Vocalion and by the Chicago Rhythm Kings, featuring that fine trumpeter at the end there. Henry, what was it? Henry Red Allen, yes.
That's correct.
This is out of my field, so
I know, Bob.
I have to just listen hard and hope. Now we get into our first victor.
Yes, this is quite a change of tempo, too. And the reason why I inserted this particular recording was it is one of the great favorites of my wife. And she said, Ed, you better put that now in. And I think she's quite right, because it's a beautiful tune written by Frank Signorelli, that master of melody. And it is by the Napoleon's Emperors. That is Phil Napoleon, the trumpet player, who was famous because he was the original man of the Memphis Five. And Tommy Dorsey playing beautiful trombone, Matt Melnick on violin, Eddie Lang on guitar. And
Matt Melnick's still going in Hollywood, isn't he?
Yes. Yes, still active.
Yeah. See, I know something.
Oh, yes. I think you know quite a bit, Bob, on jazz, too. And Ted Napoleon on drums. It is the tune called Anything.
Nice, a relaxed one from 1932 on a Victor record, Napoleon's Emperor. Is that Phil Napoleon?
That's Phil Napoleon.
And the tune was Anything. Now listen, you've got to explain something to me. While that record was on, I must tell the audience, Ed Crommelin was saying something about that's a lovely tango feeling in that. Well, I heard no tango in that. Tell us what you mean.
Oh, what I mean is, I just happened through relations of mine to have tangos from Buenos Aires and Rio de Janeiro from the 1928s. They were prize-winning tangos. And it was a revelation to me when I received those records sent over to Europe, because we were used to lots of tangos in Europe. And then I found out what we always were listening and accustomed to weren't tangos at all. It was a sweet, sugary, nasty type of imitation.
Well, but tango to me merely means da 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 da, da,
oh,
da, da, da.
Bob, I should bring some of these. There is beautiful music in it. And this gives me the same sentiment, the same harmonic run of those tangos. And that's what my wife always hears in them,
yes,
because she loves those tangos. And when I played this the odd time, she said, oh, what a beautiful thing.
Well, so don't forget, next time you're here, we'll go into that.
Very good. Yes, please.
HMV, the...
Yes, the next,
from England.
Mm-hmm. The next one is a McKinney's Cotton Pickers. Now, that is a legendary jazz Negro orchestra. To me, it is a farm team, if you know what the baseball farm teams mm-hmm. mean. It brings up some terrific players, and they go elsewhere and become stars elsewhere.
They're grooming them for the
That's
big leagues.
That's right. And the McKinney's Cotton Pickers was one of those. It was led in the early days by Don Redman, later by Benny Carter, and it produced men like Don Redman, Benny Carter, Rex Stewart, Joe Smith, Doc Cheatham, just to call out a few. Now, the one I picked today is Do You Believe in Love at Sight? Because there is a marvelous solo by Rex Stewart, the trumpet player that later became so famous with Duke Ellington. And he plays a whole chorus in this one.
You're especially moved by trumpet, aren't you? Seems to me.
Yes, maybe I am. And that came in the beginning by Bex Beiderbecke, a great hero.
All right, let's hear this recording. Ed Cromlin's fine discs from 1933, that was, McKinney's Cotton Pickers, Do You Believe in Love at Sight. And the next one, Ed, is also 1933?
That's correct, and where you just mentioned something of me being so interested in trumpet players, I almost feel embarrassed to say that the next one is again led by a trumpet player.
Uh-huh.
Loring, Red Nichols, and his theater orchestra. Now, I put the emphasis on this theater orchestra business because Red had many periods. He had his Five Pennies era, and he had a big band, and he had a small band, and then the Hungry 30s. He had a big theater orchestra. And it was good for a lot of musicians because he at least gave him sufficient...
The Paul Whiteman sort of thing?
Yes, but he gave him sufficient work that they earned a salary, you see. And because of that, some terrific big men landed into that theater orchestra amongst this forest of violins. And one was Jack Teagarden, and the other was Benny Goodman. Now, you know that at the moment there is a terrific drive of reissues of old records by Jack Teagarden and Benny Goodman. And I think this one has been completely overlooked, because the moment anyone spots on a recording the name theater orchestra, they say, oh, they put that aside. Let's go somewhere else. And I did the same thing just until about a week ago. I had a friend over, and we sometimes go through sections in my collection, and he said, let's play some of these old Red Nickels. And I said, what is this? Or I said, let's put that aside. He said, don't. You put a big at the risk on the label. It must mean something. And that at the risk I put on the label was done about 32 years ago. And he spotted it. We played it and thought, oh, let's hear why I put it on. And this came out, Keep a Song in Your Soul.
What's the use of a sigh? Sighs don't make a hit, never help a bit. There's a good reason why. Here's a recipe that will suit you to a T. When the sun is out of sight, even though you miss the light, just to keep things going right, keep a song in your soul. When the dark clouds gather round and your castle stumble down, has no time to wear a frown. Keep a song in your soul. If you only heed my story, you'll be introduced to glory. If you keep this thought in view, anything that troubles you disappears like morning dew. Keep a song in your soul.
Certainly couldn't miss Benny Goodman in that. Keep a Song in Your Soul. You have the strange labels with us today, Ed. German Brunswick.
Yes. I don't think it was issued in Europe on any other Brunswick. And it was even hard often to know what you were buying, because it had a big German translation of the tune written on it. And some of these translations, if you know your German, are so absolute hilarious.
Well, we started with 1932, and we've got all the way up now to
1938, and this is the real breakthrough of the new era. Now, the new era eventually, I think, ended up with a bebop, something I can't stand. I won't say it's no good, but I just don't understand.
Yeah, but bebop is out.
Yeah, it's out. I mean, we're beyond that now, but this was the breakthrough of a new direction. But this man, Leon Chu Berry, a great tenor player who died far too young, he was so good musically inclined that what he did was definitely make a new direction, but putting it on a very good footing. And this particular recording of 46th West 52nd Street, which is just the address of one of the big clubs on Swing Street, which is 52nd Street between 5th and 6th Avenue in New York, where you got in one single city block the nation's jazz hangouts like the Three Deuces, Downbeat, the Onyx, the Famous Door, Jim Ryan's Bar, and so on. And here he gathers around him some very good players, but it is all Chu Berry and the trumpet player Roy Eldridge.
That last item, we got into the hot swing, the driving swing era with Leon Chu Berry and his jazz ensemble from 1938 and the number 46 West 52nd Street. Who was the drummer on that?
Sidney Catlett, and to me, drum solos are for the birds, but Sidney Catlett is just the only man that I would say is allowed to play a solo because he follows the musical line of a tune complete and keeps it going without trying to show off. It's just swing. So that I'm glad you asked me about that drum.
Well, I'm going to say goodbye. We'll have a very brief introduction, Ed, to our last number, which we can't complete, Jelly Roll Morton. Wish we could get more in. What about this one?
It's the very last session of Jelly before he passed away in 1941. And it's again with Henry Red Allen, that great Negro trumpet player, doing some excellent solo work. It's called Get the Bucket.
And we'll hear it in just a moment, but you've been listening to The Record Collector, and our guest has been one of our great favorites on the program, Ed Crommelin, and he'll be back with us soon. This is Bob Kerr wishing you a good day.
Get the bucket. chorus right there with us. Oh, yeah. Get the buggin', gonna buy some big goose buggin'.